Okay, final stretch in this module. So, what is your gut? Can you choose your thoughts on purpose, or are you just stuck with whatever comes along? You probably have never even really considered that you have a choice. You assume that you're at the mercy of whatever appears, and you go through your days reacting to events that show up, flying by the seat of your pants, hoping not to crash. Your mean girl set herself up as the authority years ago, and she makes it appear as if she cannot be questioned. Her voice is constant in your head, and even though you hate it, you just can't seem to ignore her either. So, I want to talk to you in this last piece about two different ways that your brain might process information and consider if you really start to believe that you have a choice. How would switching from what's automatic make it to what you're purposely choosing make things different as you lose weight? So, there's actually a name for listening to a voice that doesn't serve you and not being able to ignore it. And you've heard it used in reference to prisoners of wars or children who have been kidnapped. The other place I associate with is victims of spousal abuse, domestic violence. The name for that is Stockholm Syndrome. So, when your brain is exposed to the level of control that's exerted by your inner mean girl, pardon, it forms an emotional bond with that controlling voice as a defense mechanism. As a true fight or flight, I need to protect myself. We find a way to coexist, to cohabitate. And that emotional bond is strengthened by the history that you've shared and by the stories that you have in common. So think back to the last recording. Every time we tell those stories, we renew and strengthen this bond with a authoritative voice that does not encourage weight loss, who tells us how we're going to fail. So, when you suffer from Stockholm syndrome, the conditions of knowing that that's the ditch that have fallen into, you perceive a threat from the person holding you captive and you believe that you're in danger. At the same time, you experience some level of kindness from the abuser. Okay, so think about kidnapping stories that you've seen, and perhaps the victim has been by themselves at some point and could have left, but they didn't. Why didn't they? Okay, a lot of times their speech is that they have bonded with this person. They've come to care for them. Are they going to be okay if you leave? Or that they were not being mean to them anymore. They were still certainly captive. But they were being treated well. They were being fed well. Think about the stories with your mean girl. Are there stories you can point to at a time when she really did save you from being hurt? Okay, so we have all of these stories about where she acts against our best interest. So our brain has that input. And remember, it loves patterns. And then it has these few little stories that it can grab onto when she actually helped you, when she saved you, protected you. Okay? Conflicting information confuses your brain and again makes it feel as if you have no choice. Now, to complete the formula for Stockholm syndrome, you stay with your abuser, you cease to see a way to separate yourself from them. So think about what you've done with your mean girl. You've tried killing her and she just keeps coming back. And every time she worms her way back in, her voice gets louder until her opinion is the only one that really matters. If your opinion is different from hers, then you acquiesce. You think she must be right. And giving her that kind of power creates a very dysfunctional kind of love. Even though it's dysfunctional and you're aware of that, she becomes the devil you know. But you're not stuck with that reality. Until now, it was the only reality you were really aware of. But your brain is not attached to the information you give it. It's attached to information. So it'll happily go left instead of right. It'll happily go positive instead of negative. It's built to process input. So if you change the input, you change the outcome. So as we go through this work, we're changing from seeing ourselves as at the mercy of whatever shows up, as being unable to escape, at finding a way to coexist with an abuser, to what is known as the Stockdale paradox. Now, this is a new piece of information to me, but it was so intriguing to apply to this weight loss. So if you haven't heard of it before, let me tell you a little bit of history. The Stockdale paradox is named after Admiral Jim Stockdale, who was a prisoner of war for 8 years during the Vietnam War. He was tortured repeatedly, and he had no reason to believe that he was ever going to return to the U.S. So he was able to mentally face that reality that I am not going home. This might be how this ends. Now, he was not alone. There was a contingency of others with him. And he describes the mood of some of the other prisoners who were eternal optimists. Like, okay, so we're going to get saved out of this. By Christmas time, we're going to go home. And when Christmas came and they didn't, their optimism actually backfired and took them to a place of Stockholm Syndrome, of identifying with their abuser. So his process was different. He tried to normalize everything he could about life. He devised a way for them to be able to communicate with each other through a system of tapping, so that they could bolster each other's spirits. He kept the faith that he would somehow get home with no real attachment to when that was going to happen. Okay, so he both faced reality, this might be where my life ends, and he was optimistic that I might have the power to change this or to survive this. So when you take that and apply that to weight loss, there again is magic that you create for yourself. When you combine the optimism of growth, by the way, he did survive and he returned home. And he's quoted as saying that he never lost faith that he would prevail in the end. So think about your weight loss journey. When you combine the optimism of growth with brutal honesty, so I think these new tools might work. I think this might be a solution to the big circles that I've been going in, the work that you're doing now. With brutal honesty about what is, okay, I'm in a body right now that I don't really like, but I have a willingness to change. You might not be too excited about admitting how you got to this weight or to the cluttered state of your brain basement, but awareness is absolutely necessary to grow and improve. It might feel like you're regressing, like you're losing ground to look inside your brain and to do this beginning level work. But in the reality, you are setting yourself up for a lifetime of success. Knowing how to feel your emotions and knowing why you think what you think are the golden tickets for reaching your natural weight and bonus for living there effortlessly, to being able to truly take weight loss off your to-do list forever. So I'm looking forward to our group phone call, to hearing what your stories are, and to hearing your thoughts about being able to choose what you think and how willing you are to open your mind and take a look around in there and start that sorting process. I love you, beauties. If your mind is tired, that's normal. Give yourself time to assimilate this information, take what you can use, and then come back and listen again. I'm so proud of you for investing in yourself and for contemplating growth. Mwah. Love you. Talk to you on the phone call. Bye-bye.